Today's reading is from the books of Genesis, Psalms, and Romans. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. From Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." And from Romans, "Ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, God's eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, because they are understood through the things God has made. So humans are without excuse." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. May be seated.
I've been so out of the loop that I forgot my notes this morning. I had to run back and get them. And then I didn't have my keys. So I'm back here. I'm like, "Shelby, do you have your keys?" "Yeah, they're in my office." Like, well, I got to get into my office to get my notes. Because it's been like that. It's like, oh, I'm so out of sorts. But it's good to be back. It's good that we're starting a brand new series. I had so much fun with the influencer series and Ben being a part of that and Jesse being a part of that and us taking a look at some of these folks that maybe we don't always look at or something we hadn't thought about previously. But in leading up to this, we were talking about, okay, so what can we do in August? And we said, well, let's ask our kids questions or ask them to ask us questions. Maybe I should put it that way. So we invited our children to submit questions, you know, and we're calling them big questions that kids ask. And what we've learned, though, as I reviewed those, is that many of the questions that our kids ask really are questions I think probably all of us, we wonder about. And maybe we don't want to ask them anymore, maybe because we're maybe a little bit embarrassed, like, I should know the answer, or I should know this, so I'm not going to ask it. But our kids, you know, they don't have those reservations. They'll ask anything, won't they? Like my kids, no, it wasn't not too long ago, they said, Dad, what's that spot in the back of your head? And I was like, I don't really appreciate that question. And then I had another time when my kids were smaller, I can't remember which one said to me, they said, "Dad, why does God make us go to church?" And I said, "God doesn't, but I'm a pastor, so you are." But they ask all kinds of great questions, fun questions, but sometimes they're deep questions, theological kind of questions. And they're more than, hey, you know, will my dog go to heaven? We always get a question like that. Or this one, I thought was a really good one. Is someone, they didn't put their name on it, but somebody here at church submitted this question, and it was, how did Gabriel get out of the star? Did he poof out or jump? Well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to. That's a deep question, though. That would take a lot more than I had time for this morning, so we'll have to come back to that one. But another one I thought, you know, this is a perfect question for us to begin this series with, and that is, how do you know there is a God? Or another way to say it is, you know, how do you know God exists? And I thought, you know, that is a great question, because how we answer this question impacts how we answer all the other questions. It really does. So I thought we'd start with this one. And what even made it more relevant, at least for me, was not long ago I was visiting with an old friend, and we were kind of sort of catching up, and they said, "Hey, I want you to know this." And I thought, oh, what is it? And they said, "I want you to know that I don't believe in God. I'm spiritual, but I don't believe in God." And my response was, well, I hope we can have a conversation about that. And I hope we get to. We haven't yet, but I hope we get to have that conversation. And I don't think that they don't believe in God. I think what they were really saying is, I don't believe in God the way that you do. that you do? Because I have a feeling they're probably more agnostic than they are atheists. And you know the difference, right? The atheist is someone who's already made up in their mind that there is no God. There's, you know, there's no room for discussion. Agnostics, all right, are more like, you know what? I don't think there is. I don't have enough evidence yet, all right? Or, you know, I haven't decided exactly. I'm not sure, but at this point, I'm just not certain. All right? But it leaves room for me. It leaves room for that conversation, right? For the questions, to explore that, to struggle with that. And I can understand the struggle, from an agnostic or from an atheist, because let's be honest, we who proclaim there is a God, who proclaim faith in God, we don't always do a great job of helping others understand that there is God. All right, we've done a lot of things in the name of God that when you take a step back, it's like, man, I can see why I wouldn't want to say there's a God or believe in a God if that's who God is. And we'll talk more about that in some of the questions that follow this. But we have to start with the very first one, though. Very first one. And I think it's important for us to think about it, to wrestle with it, to maybe come to a better understanding of that. Because I'm gonna make an assumption this morning, and that is, I think most of us here probably believe in God. Now, so I'm not going to convince you of that. That's not. But maybe it'll deepen your conviction, or it maybe encourage you or help you have a conversation with someone who's struggling with that question. If you happen to be on the other side of that, it's like, you know, I'm not really sure. Then maybe today will help you take a step closer to believe in that. Because it's an important question. How we answer this question impacts all the other kind of questions as well. And I think it's really understanding kind of the why behind it all. Now, so let's start with that, with the understanding of God. And I always begin here, and that is with I call the Einstein understanding. And that is the understanding I think a lot of modern scientists probably have as well. And they would say, okay, I would say I believe in God, but this is how I understand God to be. That's the name that's given to the force behind everything that exists. Right? Einstein said this. He said, I prefer an attitude of humility corresponding to the weakness of our intellectual understanding of nature and our own being. So for Einstein, he could talk about God. But for him, it was this force that binds everything together, all right? Everything in the universe. So if you're going to talk about a force, a power that binds everything together, I can accept the term God, Einstein would say. Everything that exists, exists because of this force, this life, this power, this energy. It binds everything together. And I think that's really what the psalmist, if you read the psalms, that's what the psalmist was pointing to, though. Psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. I mean, the psalmist didn't have a telescope or anything like that. But the psalmist looked around and looked at creation and said, you know what, there is God. They saw something. You know, someone that was behind it all. Many of you know that last week on vacation with my family, we went. My family, all my kids, all four of them were able to go, and Mindy's dad and his wife went with us, and we went on a cruise. And one thing I really like about it is, and now people say, "Where do you go?" And I was like, "I don't care where we go. I just like going." We went to a couple places in Mexico, but out in the Caribbean, you get away. But what I like is you get away from all the light pollution. You get there out there in the ocean. If you go out on deck. And in the middle of the night, you look into the skies, and what do you see? Man, you see just the billions of stars, don't you? So much better than what you can see around here, because of light pollution, you can't see that many. But out there in the darkness, out there on the ocean, you can really, really see that. You know, you look at space, and you see all of those stars. And you can look at that and it's like, well, does this magnify my understanding of God? Do you look at those images and say, wow, God is awesome. You know, awesome. Look at the majesty, how beautiful and majestic God is. Or do you say, wow, you know, we're really lucky that all that stuff came together on its own. For me, it leads me to join in with, again, those psalmists. The psalmist said, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. And so when I look into the heavens, what do I see? I'm reminded of a creator, that this stuff just didn't happen by randomness. I mean, Genesis proclaims, it says, in the beginning what? God created. Exactly. In the beginning, God created. It's kind of like I was thinking about. It's like when you hear a song on the radio. When you hear a song on the radio, right? That song just didn't appear out of thin air, right? There was a composer. There was a writer. There were musicians. There's a broadcast signal for that song to come through your radio. It points us back, you know, to a creator, doesn't it? The harmony and order of creation, to me, points to that composer. To our creator. Fred Hoyle, a physicist, is quoted a lot about something because he said this. He's an atheist, or he was an atheist, and yet this is interesting. This is what he said. He said the chances of everything coming out of nothing on this planet would be like a hurricane sweeping through a junkyard. And after the hurricane passed, you look and you saw a perfectly formed Boeing 747 sitting there. And that was an atheist saying that. You know, today we're celebrating communion, and so part of celebrating communion is we have bread, right? So we have a loaf of bread. Now, if I took my bowl here, set it beside the loaf of bread, how long do you think? How long do you think for that loaf of bread to be created out of my bowl? All right. Well, if I added some bread flour, okay. What else? What else do you need for bread? Well, that's in the bread flour already, okay? So I'm ahead of you there. All right, I did read you have to have some butter. Or you can use butter, oil, something like that. Salt. Got my salt. Got to have some water, or maybe some buttermilk or milk, something like that. So I got my water. Got to stir it all up, right? All right, so I got all that. So that's pretty much the ingredients you would need to make some kind of bread, right? Not even say great bread, but some bread. Now, how long do you think it's going to take for what's in this bowl to become that? Scientists say the Earth is like 4-point-something billion years old. Do you think after 4-point-some billion years old, this is going to become that? The only way this is going to become that is what? You need 3 women in an oven, right? Or you need to go, where do we get this bread? I don't even know where we get our bread for communion. But the bakery. There's something behind that. They can take all the ingredients, but there is a creator behind all of that. For that to become our wonderful communion bread. That we enjoy. So when I look at creation, I see a designer, I see a purpose, I see order. In Genesis, you know, was out of chaos. There was order. See, science explains the how. Okay, this is how. Scripture, the Bible, explains the why. Now, we get ourselves in trouble when we try to take the Bible and explain the how with the Bible. That's not what the creation stories are about. Right? That's not the purpose. The purpose is to explain the why, not the how. Science explains the how. Scripture, creation, Genesis, points us to the why and the who. This force that holds everything together, however it happened, you know, this is who it is, and this is why it happened. And I think a lot of science, they can, they're okay with again, that Einstein understanding. Where many get left behind, and I think probably where my friend struggles, is when we also say, yes, but see, the who is also personal. Not just this cosmic force, you know, just not just this, a cosmic force that binds everything, but is personal. And that's what scriptures define. They're defining, showing us God's personhood, right? And what I mean by that is our individuality, our intellect, our logic, our emotion, our relation, our will. To me, those are the characteristics of God. So what it means when Scripture says we are created in the image of God. Not that we physically look like God, but we embody the stuff that defines our personhood. That's derived from the personhood of God. Paul, in his letter to the Christians there in Rome that Chris read earlier, he says again, ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, God's eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen because they are understood through the things God has made. The things that God has made. Not just creation, but look, you and I is clearly seen. Right? Within each of us. This is what separates us from the rest of creation, right? Why do we long for things like justice and ache for meaning? And why do we love and seek mercy and beauty and truth? It's the personhood of God which is in us. That divine image in which we were created. You know, we have a moral compass. Some of us more than others, but all of us have it. I think we can all agree there is a right and a wrong. We may disagree what is right and what is wrong, but there is something within us that points us to that. You know, when I think many times when we lie, when we feel something, when we are lied to us, we feel that even more. Right? There's an inner alarm within us. Where did that come from? How is Some would say, well, that's just social training. You learn that. You develop it. And I would say, no, it's more than that. It's more than a survival instinct. It is this divine image that we are created from. C.S. Lewis once said, he said, creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exist. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. I think we long for more because why? We are made for more. I mean, we feel the ache of justice and meaning and belonging because it is an echo of our Creator, I believe. Creator who is also personal. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created humanity in God's own image, in the divine image. God created them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. See, to me, creation shows us the fingerprints of God. Conscience reveals the image, and then we get to Christ, and Christ shows us the face of God. Right? The invisible becomes visible. And so if you were so the clearest answer to me, the clearest answer to is there a God? It's like, well, yeah, just look at Jesus. Because God didn't send us a message. God sent God's self. John writes in his gospel, Jesus speaking, Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So if you want to know what God looks like, then what do? We turn to his Son. Because when we look at Christ, we see God. Not only do we see God, because Christ was fully human, but also fully divine. So not only do we see God, we also see ourselves, right? We see ourselves there. And we see the heart of God, and we see ourselves. See, Jesus didn't just tell us, oh yeah, there is a God. He says, no, this is what God is like. This is that divine image that you're created in. It's a love that touches lepers. It is grace that welcomes sinners. It is truth that challenges the proud. It is power that conquers death. God doesn't stay hidden. God doesn't leave us guessing. God says, all right, I'll just put on skin and I'll walk among you. And what he did, he healed and forgave and he taught and he wept and he suffered and he rose again. I was reminded of incident back in 2010. You may recall this. Some of you may recall it. 33 miners, you remember, they were trapped in a mine down in Chile. They were a half mile underground. They were trapped there for 69 days. I've forgotten how long it was. 69 days. They were in total darkness. A half mile underground. And during that time, I was reading a story about, they sent up a message, and the message was this question. It was, are we alone? That's what they wanted to know. Are we alone? Finally, rescuers were able to drill a hole and to be able to, you know, to send in food and light and things to sustain them until they could actually rescue them. But one of the first things they sent down was the message, no, you are not alone. See, God drills into our darkness. He sends us his son to remind us that we are not alone. That God that created everything is also very personal. So here's the thing. I can't prove to an atheist that God exists, okay? I can point to that. Doesn't necessarily, I can't scientifically, maybe. I can point to that. I think it points to that. I don't know, but I don't think my words would change Einstein's mind. But all I can do is speak from my convictions. I can only speak from my experiences with God. I could point to the experience of others with God on that personal level. That's what I can do. And my hope is that others would experience God in that positive way too. And sometimes we have to do some deconstructing to in order to reconstruct, because we haven't always done a good job of helping people understand who God is and what God is all about. And in Christ came and walked among us. So I can only speak to my experience. And so I can only answer that question, you know, is there a God? Well, yes, I would say. Because I believe creation shows us his glory. Conscience reveals his image. Christ displays his face. That we didn't just randomly come together, right? It just didn't happen. There was a purpose, there was a plan. We're not alone. Because God is personal at the same time, there is always hope. For because as he revealed himself to Jesus Christ, reminds us that there is hope, that we are loved, that we are sought after. And ultimately, when we place our faith in him, that we are saved. Let's pray. Lord, even though we might have questions and might have doubts, and those are okay, you welcome those things, those struggles, oh Lord. My hope and prayer is that those questions and those struggles lead us closer to you. Continue to remind us that it's through your handiwork and your beauty that you love us. I pray that we might feel and experience your presence in our lives, that you would continue to mold us and shape us so that we might in turn better reflect that divine image in which we were created. And that in doing so, we allow you to use us to make this world a better place, but to point others to you. For it is in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.